Exodus, chapter 7, verses 8 through 13. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said.
Over the past few weeks, the sermons have created a complex character profile of Moses the prophet, reflecting his flawed and even murderous past, as well as his reticence to the call of God. This week, we will hear the story of the plagues of Egypt in the context of the present. The roles of both ruler and prophet in this story are drastically simplified in favor of emphasizing the catastrophic consequences of human sin. Wherever we find ourselves in this story, whether our role has been explicit or complicit, we confess our culpability. Beyond this story of the destructive nature of human power, there is the promise of freedom, that which is unfulfilled by generations of the powers of this world, is contrasted with the liberating power of God. But today, we bear witness to the disturbing fallout that results from rejecting the reign of God and the attempt to determine our own destiny. Let me tell you a story. Outside of the White House, the prophets wait for the president. When the president arrives to receive them, he's surrounded by his advisors, cabinet, and security detail. The prophets recite their grievances, calling for freedom from the hands of power, powers that have failed to fulfill the promises of liberty and justice for all. The leader of the prophet calls for the president's attention. "See this sign and worship the true king, whose power is greater than the most powerful nations on earth." The prophet took in his hand a picket sign and threw it high in the air, and it was transfigured into an eagle. The eagle soared over the White House lawns for all to see. The president then called his advisors together. Sending a trusted advisor to retrieve a bird, she returned with a magnificent bald eagle. They released it on the grounds, but before the bird could launch itself from the lawn, the prophet's eagle swooped low and devoured the bald eagle whole. The eagle then returned to the prophet's arm, where it once again became a picket sign. This infuriated the president, and he became determined not to lose face over this spectacle. So his advisors spread false reports that it had indeed been the prophet's eagle, not the president's, who had been eaten on the South Lawn. God called to the prophets, "Speak truth to power." And they responded, "By the true power of your word, we will, Lord." Deception had so infected the people of this land that neighbor distrusted neighbor, and families turned one on the other. So So the prophets did as the Spirit instructed, going person to person, sharing the good news of a Savior who would liberate all people from the powers that be. And a movement emerged as the promise of freedom filled people with hope. Eventually, the president arranged a sit-down, hoping to co-opt the momentum of this movement. The prophets spoke their truth before the most powerful of men on earth. But when their truth named lies and empty promises told by generations of presidents, his heart hardened and he denied their claims. Without truth to ground their common experience, community devolved to self-preservation. God again came to the prophets saying, "The technological revolution has gone unchecked for generations. All advancement and innovation are unquestioned moral virtues. Now, technology threatens to fracture human communities and destroy life on the planet. Go to the president. Ask at what cost has humankind bound itself to the peril of technological progress?" And the prophets met the president during his meeting with the greatest innovators in Silicon Valley. Their collective response was dismissive. "Why do you ask about cost when you see the clear evidence of profit?" With no restraint or regard for cost, that which was made to connect friends was used by enemies to create chaos. What was designed to protect was used to kill. And what was engineered to utilize natural resources plundered the planet. Again, Jesus appeared to the prophets, this time in the person of a man experiencing homelessness. He said, "Materialistic greed has blinded the rich to the needs of the poor. They cannot see over their mountains of stuff or beyond their posh neighborhoods. Inspired by their encounter with the humble Christ, the prophets went to confront the president at the White House. The president, a man of tremendous wealth, as all others before him had been, was unmoved by the pleas of the poor. The gap between rich and poor continued to grow. The material wealth of the rich spoiled their hearts and poisoned their spirits. The powerful, addicted to this taste of wealth, refused to change. Poverty plagued the people, and many who became sick were forced to survive without relief because they could not afford medical care. God called on the prophets, 'Go to the president, bring him the sick, show him the needs of my people who suffer.' The prophets did as the Lord had commanded. The president was moved by the stories of the sick. But after his advisors took him aside, he turned on the prophets and their sick friends, demanding they leave the White House immediately. And the debts of the poor continued to amass in sickened communities. The Spirit spoke to the prophets. 'Listen to your sisters, mothers, daughters. Listen to the stories of women who have been forced to submit to male voices and endure the abuse of man's coercive power that seeks to control their bodies and lives.'" The prophets listened. The stories of assault, harassment, domination, and unfair treatment were devastating to them. The prophets chose from among themselves a prophetess to share the experiences of women with the powers that be. The prophetess courageously shared the stories of her sisters with the president. Women were inspired by her bravery and came forward to share their stories. Their stories reflected a deep wound that had long been dressed with an inadequate bandage, when in reality it needed surgery to address its debilitating damage. Still, the president remained defiant. Women continued to speak about their experiences, but powerful men continued to hold on to the control and power that their dominant behaviors had ensured. And still others cried out. Among those who continued to cry out were African American, Asian, and Latino, Native and immigrant voices. They grieved the lives lost at the hands of authorities, families separated, poverty inherited from generations of racial discrimination, people of color struggling and suffering while being offered empty apologies that have done little to right wrongs. Their faithful witness to the injustices of racism revealed the crucified Messiah. Among them, black and brown prophets cried out on behalf of the suffering God with us. And in front of the Lincoln Memorial, the prophets proclaimed God's dream of freedom for all people. But the president, like many before him, was unpersuaded to repent, unwilling to pay penance to end the generational poverty that remains a living memorial to slavery and Jim Crow. Black and brown people continued to be subjected to the dehumanizing nature of discrimination, white supremacy, mass incarceration, poverty, and police violence. On the news, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Philando Castile, Walter Scott, the names keep coming. Sandy Hook, Pulse, Las Vegas, Virginia Tech, the reports of mass shootings follow. An epidemic of death-dealing gun violence sweeps through our communities. The prophets, moved by the Spirit of God, go to meet the president on his visit at the site of the most recent tragedy. After the president offers his condolences, the prophets engage him about the dangers of weapons of war that are being used against our own communities. With important supporters profiting from the minimally restricted industry of weapons dealing, the president refused to change. Another shooting, and another, and another. A culture of death prevailed among humankind. Many nations responded in fear with violence. And the Prince of Peace came to the prophets saying, "The fears and insecurities of the nations, the greed and vanity of the rich, and the deception and false promises of the powerful have led to an acceptance of the evil of violence as a means to preserve their moral exceptionalism in a world spinning out of control. So put down weapons of war, resist any thoughts of fighting back, and trust my way of peace. This is the true word of God." Motivated by greed and fear, the president calls on his armies to defeat the threats to their national interests. Publicly, he announced the greatest military in history would bring peace to the earth. Presidents have long declared wars to end all war, and this strategy has never succeeded. The world was consumed by war on every side. Wars multiplied and reduced humankind to dust. Few escaped the horror of violence. Yet the president remained resolute in his strategy. Humankind, being torn apart in every direction, felt the turbulent upheaval of all nature under their feet. The earth grew sick, and the prophets again called on the president. He ignored their evidence of a changing climate that would lead to planetary disaster. Instead, he pursued the prophets of plundering the natural world for its vital resources. Creation unraveled around the people of Earth, reverting to the chaos of darkness that preceded the creative order of God. The moral fabric of the universe interweaves the ethical order of human activity and the natural order of the planets into the glory of creation. When this design is violated by human sin, there are cosmic consequences. Whether human wickedness results in locusts or poverty, boils or war, darkness, or climate crisis. All the consequences of sin lead to death. God's created order was from its origin life-giving. It is sin that dismantles our lives and makes death inevitable. When we observe the forces of death pressing in around us, and when we witness the return of chaos breaking into creation, we must confess this reality is a consequence of our sin. Human wickedness has resulted in a planet plagued by poverty, sickness, hostility, corruption, pollution, scarcity, perversion, and violence. But the final plague is yet to pass over our world. What will it take for us to turn to the ways of God's life-giving order? May we not taste death's cruel touch, but submit our lives to the redemptive power of God's creative love. Amen.